The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
A new study has found that third-level students are living with drafts, condensation and mould in their rental accommodation. The study carried out by NUI Galway studied 16 different residences, with over 90% reporting cold indoor temperatures. We're joined now by NUI Galway student Alva Ryan, who is co-author of the study. And we're also joined by Karina Timothy, Services Manager with Threshold Western Region. Good morning and welcome. Alva, first of all, tell me about this survey, because it's a relatively small number of houses and accommodations. How did you pick them?
Yeah, so for our final year project in civil engineering, we just chose 16 random houses and apartments to analyse. So they included like two bedrooms up to four and five bedroom houses.
Did you select them? Did you go to the students' union and find out, you know, from their list of accommodation providers, like how random was it? You don't just knock up on a door where you see a couple of students walking in and out and say, "Can we try your house?"
No, we just sent an email around to engineers in Galway just so that it'd be easy to access, because we wanted to make sure that we could follow up with the interview.
So, are you more likely, therefore, to get replies from people who have dodgy accommodation? The people who are perfectly happy in their accommodation are hardly going to invite you in to survey their comfort and warmth.
No, I don't think so. I think we had an uptake from everyone that we had asked. I suppose because it was a final year project, we couldn't bring in too many houses. Just we wouldn't have the time to complete it. So that's why we were so limited.
So from the 16 that you did survey, what sort of tests did you make on these houses?
So we installed four sensors in each house, one in the kitchen, the living room and the two bedrooms. And we got the temperature readings for every 10 minutes from the rooms over a 3-month period. And from that, we could confirm if they were achieving the minimum standard of 18 degrees, as would be recommended by the World Health Organization for an internal temperature. And then we also completed a survey and an interview from one tenant of each house. And then from that, we got their thermal comfort and how they perceived the quality of the house to be.
And did you actually go around and have a look at, you know, the mouldy bits and the damp bits and the peeling wallpaper or whatever it might be?
Yeah, so because we had access to the houses, we could go in and get pictures, and we got thermal camera pictures to see where the heat loss was occurring.
And some of the houses, it appears, were almost impossible to heat. No matter how much you threw at them, they were just badly insulated and incapable of retaining the heat.
Yeah, so from the 16 dwellings we had in February, only six of them had achieved temperatures over 18 degrees, and that was only achieved for maybe 10% of the time. So it wasn't even throughout the whole recorded period.
There was a television series years and years ago called Rising Damp, which was about a landlord who provided student accommodation. And you would have thought in the 21st century that that kind of accommodation would be no more. But clearly it's still on the go. Was it cheap accommodation, though? I mean, were the landlords saying, well, you know, it's not the best accommodation, therefore we'll offer it at a bargain basement price?
Unfortunately not, no. And just with the housing crisis at the minute, the rents are still increasing. And I suppose the landlords don't have to put money into these accommodations because they know they can fill them no matter what the condition of the houses is. So the rent prices are still one of the highest.
And Alva, from your own anecdotal experience, every year, how difficult is it for, you know, your fellow engineering students or other students in NUIG to find accommodation?
Yeah, no, it is a major struggle for them to find accommodation. So I suppose that they will just take what they're given, and they can't really complain about the quality of the houses. Otherwise, they just won't have accommodation.
beggars cannot be choosers in this case because of the shortage. So impossible to heat, mouldy, damp, dilapidated, and still they charge top dollar. Okay, Alva Ryan, who's civil engineering students at NUIG, thank you very much for joining us. Karina Timothy, service manager with Threshold Western Region. This is a hardy annual in a sense, Karina, but it's dispiriting to know that landlords are putting this kind of accommodation on the market.
It is indeed, Pat. I mean, this is the reason substandard and bad, poor standard accommodation was the reason Threshold was established over 40 years ago, but we're still coming across it. And I kind of, to echo something what Alva said there, what we're kind of noticing more and more is that tenants and students, they're not willing to raise issues of bad standard accommodation with the landlord for fear of possibly being served a notice of termination. So a lot of them, so people are just willing to put up with the conditions that they live in.
One of the other issues is when people sign up for these. I mean, people will be scrambling to get accommodation now in the various cities for the coming term, particularly now that there's a promise that with antigen testing and other measures that most third level colleges are expected to open with some degree of normality. So therefore, people from out of town are going to be looking for accommodation. And you go into a house, it might actually smell quite fine in the summer. Nice fresh air, high temperatures. And then October comes and November comes. And what was lovely in August when you booked it is a dump.
Yeah, and but you know we see this a lot, particularly in the west of Ireland, where you know with our very damp climate. Yeah, it looks great in August, but then as you say, come October, damp starts appearing on the walls, mold starts appearing around places, paint starts cracking off, and the house kind of becomes what the house actually is. Unfortunately, you know, with birth certification, you'd like to think that maybe this could possibly eliminate this. You know. A landlord must show a birth certificate when advertising a house, but it makes no odds for a tenant viewing accommodation what the birth certification is, because your choice could be accommodation with a D2 rating or no accommodation at all. So you will, yeah, you'll take the accommodation with a D2 rating, obviously.
Yeah, now obviously there's very little A-rated housing around, because that basically is state-of-the-art modern building. There'd be a bit of B accommodation knocking around, stuff that's been built in the last 20 years or refurbed. C accommodation would be what I suppose a lot of people in their normal everyday homes would be living with. That's the reality of it. We'd hope in time to build all that up to B-rated and A-rated. But do you think it would make any difference to the supply of housing if, for example, the government were laid down a regulation that no accommodation can be let unless it's C or better?
Yes, that would be great. I mean, Threshold, we've been calling for an NCT for housing for years now, whereby, okay, at present, if you've got an issue with your accommodation, the onus is on the tenant to make the complaint to the landlord in the first instance. There, many are reluctant to do so. And in the second instance, if you want to make a complaint to the local authority under minimum standards legislation, the onus is on the tenants to do that. And then the local authority are supposed to inspect. What we're looking for is an NCT for housing, and therefore it shifts the burden onto the landlord. The landlord must establish compliance with minimum standards prior to renting out the property.
Yeah, so presumably, you know, you a bit like your NCT for your car, it could last 2 or 3 years before you'd have to resubmit. You know, you wouldn't have to do it every year, because once you've achieved a good BER rating and, you know, quality of equipment and so on, you'd imagine that equipment would stay good for maybe 3 years anyway, and your insulation should remain the same. So it wouldn't be too onerous on the landlord to get such a cert maybe once every 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And as you say, then it's renewed, let's say, every 3 years. But the work has been done.
This problem of student accommodation, you know, one of the panaceas was supposed to be the construction by the colleges themselves, even in partnership with others, of customised student accommodation. The experience in Dublin would be that kind of accommodation tends to be expensive.
Oh, it's very expensive and prohibitively expensive for many students and their parents. Under the National Student Accommodation Strategy, the target is to have 21 purpose-built student accommodation beds by 2024. And that's actually on track. Now, well, it was on track until the end of 2019. Through COVID now, maybe took a hit on that. That's great. It's great that purpose-built student accommodation is becoming available, but it's very, very expensive. So there's still a need for students to live in private rented accommodation.
I saw a survey, I think it was from Trinity College, but they asked the students what they wanted and they all wanted ensuite bedrooms for themselves if they were to have student accommodation purpose built. But, you know, in other countries they manage with, for example, there might be 10 or 11 toilets and bathrooms to serve 20 rooms. They might have a common kitchen area and so on. You know, they're not as fussy as our guys seem to be. And people of an older age group will hark back to the way it used to be and think that, you know, this generation is looking to be pampered, whereas what they're stuck with is dodgy landlords with damp dilapidation.
Well, at the most recent, USI carried out a survey, I think it was in 2017, of where students are living. 33% of students are still living in private rented accommodation. So there's still a huge demand for it. And some students want to live in private rented accommodation as opposed to the purpose-built, just to have that experience of sharing a house with your friends and that. Yeah. So, but just because it's student accommodation does not mean it should be substandard.
No, but there's nothing substandard about having, you know, a communal bathing and showering and toilet area, you know, because in your own home you might be sharing one toilet with five or six family members.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, I, what I was referring to is private rented accommodation. Private rented accommodation shouldn't be substandard.
Yeah. All right, Karina, thank you very much for joining us. Karina Timothy, Service Manager with Threshold Western Region. No doubt a lot of people exercised about this because it's the same every year. Everyone kind of seems to get sorted in the end, but maybe not to anyone's real satisfaction.